Good morning. Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church in Sydney, Ohio. A few announcements. Tomorrow, being the Memorial Day holiday, the thrift shop will be closed. Next week, the 31st, we will return to in-person worshiping in this room at both the 8:30 and the 10:30 service. You each should have received guidelines for this day. As an email, and if you didn't, please contact me and I'll be sure you get one. The brief outline is, masks are requested but not required. And these guidelines describe how we're going to do communion and how we can handle that. The council has scheduled a meet and greet with the pastoral candidate on June the 13th from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. in the fellowship hall. Again, you're requested to wear masks, not mandatory. But we will need to respect social distancing. This is official notice of a congregational meeting, then on Sunday, June the 14th at 9:30 between the services. Please note, this will be a vote to extend a call to the candidate. The meeting must have 100 people present to be valid. And if we do not have 100 people present, then the bishop will not certify the call. This week, I hope to have it put together to get started with our VBS online for this summer, and I think that's going to be fun. Confirmation has been moved to late in July, and we'll see when we can do that. I think that's all for today. Let's begin our worship by making confession to our God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We've not loved you with our whole heart. We've not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight to your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, therefore, I declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of the risen Christ be with you always.
And also with you. They say don't waste your time. You simply cannot find an ounce of good within. Too late in the bed we've made, live this life without a second chance. But I'm inclined to say there must be something more. We've been told that the heart is just too far gone to save, but grace tells us another story. Where glory sends hopelessness away. Oh, grace tells us another story. They say we cannot change, there is no other way. Used to it, cause this is all there is. They say don't raise your voice, cause we don't have a choice. Dealt this hand to learn to live with it. Well, I have to believe there must be something more. We've been told that the heart is just too far gone to save, but grace tells us another story. Where glory sends hopelessness away. Oh, grace tells us another story. And though we may not understand why you'd give us another chance. We praise you who lets us start again. We've been told that the heart is just too far gone to say, but grace tells us another story, where glory sends hopelessness away. Oh, grace tells us another story. Oh, the heart is not too far gone to say. Oh, grace tells us another story, where glory sends hopelessness away. Oh, grace tells us another story.
Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God of glory, your Son, Jesus Christ, suffered for us and ascended to your right hand. Unite us with Christ and each other in suffering and in joy, that all the world may be drawn into your bountiful presence through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Our first lesson comes from Acts chapter 1, beginning at the 6th verse. When the apostles had come together, they asked Jesus, "Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel?" He replied, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going, and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven." Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the room upstairs where they were staying, Peter and John and James and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. All these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson comes from 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning at the 12th verse. "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that is taking place among you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you are sharing Christ's sufferings, so that you may also be glad and shout for joy when his glory is revealed. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory, which is the Spirit of God, is resting on you. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all of your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves. Keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kind of suffering. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel for this seventh Sunday of Easter comes to us from the 17th chapter of John.
Glory to you, Lord.
After Jesus had spoken these words to his disciples, he looked up to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people, to give eternal life to all those who you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you gave me to do. So now, Father, Glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I have had in your presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and you have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you gave to me, I have given to them. And they have received them and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking you on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those who you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
This Sunday ends the season of Easter. On this day in Scripture, we look both forward and backward. Last Thursday, we remembered Jesus in his ascension back to the Father. And at that time, we were told to wait. Yes, wait again. Yes, wait until our companion, the promised Paraclete, comes to guide us. Next week, we will celebrate the birth of the new earthly church, exploding into mission with the gifts of the Spirit. Today, we pause for a moment to listen again to the prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples. This same prayer that is for us today. There's both assurance and certainty in Jesus' prayer. Good news, for sure. Jesus has made his Father's name known to the disciples. He has given them knowledge of the truth. Scripture today has Jesus praying for their protection. The disciples have been hated by the world, and they're endangered by evil or the evil one. Jesus is asking for protection for them so that they may be one as we are one. Jesus' prayer for unity is what offers us assurance and certainty. This same prayer for some may raise questions, though. For you today, I ask, can you see any evidence that Jesus' prayer has been answered? What does Jesus mean anyway when he say, one as we are one? If we go back to the beginning of John's Gospel, it starts out, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. From that very first verse, John suggests to express the mystery of Jesus, that he was God, and yet at the same time distinct from God. We scratch our heads. How is that possible? The disciples could look at Jesus and say, that's what God looks like. Wow! Now we know! Now, when Jesus prays that his followers may be one as he and the Father are one, they get it. They see it. He is praying for all of us in this same mystery. Not that we should each become one with God or one with Christ, but that we should become one with each other in this life. Jesus and the Father are one, and he wants us to be one. This is a mystery of how it can be. In some ways, the first part of this mystery is easy. We all have our ways to grow in our oneness with God. Some may ground our own growth in corporate worship. Some may follow a spiritual discipline of private prayer, of study, and service in God's name. We may choose to dedicate ourselves to a particular ministry in the cause of justice or healing or pastoral presence. And no matter which path we follow toward oneness with God, the Holy Spirit is there to act in our lives, to draw us closer, and to reveal to us the presence of God that is already nearer to us than our own heartbeats. We have only to open our eyes, our ears, and remain willing to receive and respond. Jesus is also praying that his followers may be one with one another. I think that's where the pain lies for us today. It would appear that disunity is the defining style of our whole world, and especially even in the church. The church in the world has its denominations and its sub-denominations. We argue about who can be ordained or what words we can use when we pray. We argue over our alliance with this and that or that group around the world or with our parish, with other parishes in this community. We argue over how our churches participate in the world or how religion interacts with the state. Now, all of this disunity is causing enormous pain. Pain for God, too. Perhaps it's helpful to remember that this disunity is nothing new. When there were still people walking the streets who had known Jesus face to face, the Christian community had already started arguing. They argued over who would share a meal. They argued over whose party represented the real church. They argued over whether you were really a Christian if you did not exhibit certain spiritual gifts. So we may wonder whether all of this contention in the past and going on into the future means that Jesus' prayer was never answered. I don't think that Jesus has been denied. That option of not answering Jesus' prayer does not seem satisfactory. Does John's portrayal of Jesus seem truthful in some fundamental way? I think it does. I hope you found it encouraging to hear once again how Jesus prayed for his disciples and us, for us 2,000 years later. The question is, are we able to trust that God does hear our prayers and does answer them? Are we able to trust that God heard Jesus' prayer that we all might be one? If we do, then the problem must be our own and the assumptions that we have of what unity really is. We may need to think differently somehow when we think about Christians being one. Jesus prayed that they may be one as we are one, and that the Word was with God and the Word was God. Theologians for years who studied these words talked about Jesus' oneness with the Father in terms that suggested movement. Some have even said it's kind of an interweaving that may be even described as a dance amongst the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Back in the 70s, we had a song which would be really good for this contemporary worship, Lord of the Dance. What if the answer to Jesus' prayer for unity was really about this joyful interplay between the three instances of the Trinity? Now, if we could just hold this image for a while, it might just affect how we view our own disagreements with our brothers and sisters. Perhaps the vision toward which we strive is not one of total agreement, but one of the ability to join in our separate ways, in a common dance of faith. It is just possible that this is what Christian unity should look like. As Paul said, a body with many parts, a dance with many dancers, a song with many voices. The challenge to us in response to all this variety is to say, yeah, that's what it is. Yes, those other people are really Christians too. Yes, there is pain in all this diversity, but there's also possibility. Yes, there is struggle in all of this, but there's also glory. Do you find all of this movement and all this suggesting of a dance disorienting? Does your anxiety about conflict lure you into wishing for something less dramatic? This Christian community of ours can be wild and frustrating and crazy. But if we can just place our trust on that prayer of Jesus, maybe we could enjoy the dance. So in answer to the question from our first lesson, yes, it's time. It's time for us to realize that Jesus is alive with the Father. It's time for us to follow Jesus' lead and receive guidance for our lives from the Holy Spirit. Next week, we will celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit to the disciples who were waiting in Jerusalem. It's time for us to set aside ourself and live for others. And as Joel says, it's time for us to return to the Lord our God. Amen. Let us profess our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things we were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. He became truly human. And for our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sin. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. We are uplifted by your promised hope of healing and resurrection. We now join the people of God in all places as we pray for all creation. O God, call your people to be one. Unite your church in the truth of your gospel, the love of our neighbor, and the call to proclaim your reign to all people. Lord, in your mercy, breathe life into your creation. Guide us as we explore the mysteries of the universe. We pray for the work of scientists and mathematicians whose skill enriches our understanding. And now let the fruits of their labors show us the majesty and the mystery of your creation. Lord, in your mercy, make your justice come to the nations of the earth. Protect those overtrodden by cruel governments. Redirect those who use violence and greed as weapons to become protectors of all. Lord, in your mercy, come to the aid of your children. We pray for those we thought would not get the virus, who are now having life-threatening complications. Be with their families who feel helpless during this time. Enable them to rest their anxieties in your care. Lord, in your mercy, on this weekend of Memorial Day, we give thanks for those who died in service to this country. As we remember them with flags, with speeches, but most of all, that knowing that they are in your care at this time. Lord, in your mercy, give courage to all who embark on new adventures, new careers, new education, new relationships. As we approach this Memorial Day, remember this day. Lord, in your mercy, with bold confidence in your love, Almighty God, we place for all whom we pray into your eternal care through Christ the Lord. Amen. Thank you for those of you who have sent in your offerings via the mail. It's much appreciated. Next week, when we're meeting in person, we will not pass an offering plate because that's another place of contamination. You will find the offering plates at the back door and at the front door over here so that you can drop your offering into there. Thank you again for your faithfulness. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Each day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. It is right to give thanks to our Lord and God. It's indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty Merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death, and in rising has brought us to eternal life. So with Mary Magdalene, with Peter, and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we've fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms on the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. In the night in which he was handed over to suffering and death, our Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took a cup of wine. When he'd given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, O Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of a new and unending life with him. Sanctify us also, that we may serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. We have been brought together by the Holy Spirit. Let us pray as our Lord taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I ask you now to join me in this invitation to communion. My Jesus, I believe that you are truly present in the sacrament of communion. I desire to offer you praise and thanksgiving as I proclaim your resurrection. I love you above all things and long for you in my soul. Since I cannot receive you in the sacrament of your body and blood, come spiritually into my heart. Cleanse and strengthen me with your grace, Lord Jesus, and never be separated from you. May I live in you and you in me, in this life and in the life to come. May I always remember your sacrifice. Amen. Life-giving God, in the mystery of Christ's resurrection, you send light to conquer darkness, water to give new life, and the bread of life to nourish your people. Send us forth as witnesses to your Son's resurrection, that we may show your glory to all the world through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. May you feel the healing arm of God around you. May you know his presence in your life this day and forevermore. It is God's time. Now rejoice in the risen Christ. Take the message of hope to all you meet. Go in peace and deliver this gospel.
Thanks be to God.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again. Father, to you are